friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. And I'm delighted to welcome Sean Gormley, a native of Dublin. Sean, an actor. First of all, you're very welcome, Sean. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing very well, thank you. We're in mid-run of the show, so we're kind of off and running now, having a great time with it.
Great. Okay, and we're talking, you know, friends, about two plays directed by Charlotte Moore, co-founder and director of the Irish Repertory Theatre. I want to find out a little bit about you and your background. A native of Dublin, we understand.
Yes.
You actually went to Seattle in 1997. And what was your mission? What was your goal? And how did you wind up in Seattle?
I winded up in Seattle because I was a musician. I was a bass player professionally for, a good 20 years. And I'd been touring around doing that, and I decided there was a very good music scene in Seattle in the late 90s. And I decided with my wife, Janice, just to make a big change and give America a shot. And I thought Seattle would be a good starting point because of the good music scene there. And after about 6-7 years of that, I made a very abrupt change. And I decided one evening to take an acting class. So I would have been late into my 30s at this stage. And I never looked back, and I made a complete shift. I kind of hung up the bass, and I decided to pursue acting full-time. And I did that for about 5 years in Seattle, and then decided I wanted to pursue it professionally. So that was a case of either moving to New York City or L.A. And I can't keep a permanent smile on my face, so L.A. was out of the question. And I was about 40 years too old, so we moved to New York. And that's where I met Charlotte and Kieran from the Irish Repertory Theatre, and I started doing theatre there and just building things up, and that's been the last 15, 16 years. And here we are in the run of things.
Now, I want to ask you, because the last time we saw you was at the Irish Repertory Theatre and the performance of The Weir. Tell us a bit about that.
The Weir, we ended up doing, I think I did 200 performances of The Weir because it was revived twice. It was a very successful production by Conor McPherson. And Kieran O'Reilly directed it, and it just was a hit. It's a wonderful, it's one of the great Irish plays, and it ran for a long time. And then during COVID, we ended up recording it virtually, which was, we were all on our own Zooms, and it was all pieced together as a performance, which I believe was one of the first of its kind. I know a lot of theatres followed suit and copied that idea, but it was a great way and a great credit to the Irish Repertory Theatre to keep theatre alive during COVID, where of course you obviously couldn't have anybody in attendance, so they decided to go virtually, and The Weir was the first big play that they did fully online, and so that was, I think, the third, or that would have been the fourth reincarnation of The Weir. So that was a great success and a wonderful play, a lovely ensemble piece. And one of my fellow actors, John Keating, was in The Weir with me, and he's also in this production of Two by Sing.
Well, you know, speaking of your fellow actors in Two by Sing, we have Kieran Bowling, Terry Donnelly, you know, John Keating, and Joe Kinsella. Have many of you, we know about Terry and John and the others. Had you worked with them before?
I had. I've worked with John Keating quite a bit. I believe this is our sixth play together, and he's also directed me once in a play. And we're also, you know, very good friends off stage. And we also live in the same area of New York in Astoria. And Terry Donnelly I'd worked with before. Terry, as it turns out, lived opposite my mother's family in Dublin. Because when I first met Terry and we got talking, you know, where are you from, where are you from? And she looked at me and she said, I saw you when you were in a pram. And I said, how is that possible? And she said, I lived across the road from your family. And when your, who is my godmother, Fionnuala, was walking you in the pram, you know, the neighbors would all come out and have a look at the new baby. And she said, that was you. And now all these years later, we happened to meet, working together in New York City, a very, you know, such a small community. And, Kieran Bowling, I haven't worked with before, nor Joe Kinsella, but, that's, it's a great pleasure working with them both for the first time. So obviously being a pretty small community and the Irish rep, you know, involve and employ a lot of us over the years. So, you know, paths are bound to cross, which is a lovely thing. It's lovely to appear in different pieces with the same people, you know, over whatever, 10, 12 years. So yes, I've worked with several of them before.
Yeah. And, well, now let's get to John Millington Singh. Actually, he was Edmund John Millington Singh. And born in 1871, and he actually he died in 1909. A young fellow, and he succumbed to, I believe, it was Hodgkin's disease.
That's right.
But he was a busy fellow. His, of course, his best known play. The Playboy of the Western World was fantastic, and it is, you know, the annals, you know, of famous plays right there. But actually, it didn't go over that well with the audiences in Dublin. And why was that?
Well, I think the controversy at the time was having any mention of harming the clergy, or, you know, anything that was, that even suggested being a little bit blasphemous or a little bit risque, you know, even having what they would call a woman of the street portrayed on stage. The same thing happened with O'Casey, you know, there were
right.
riots at his play. And I mean, in one of the Singh plays that we're doing, The Tinker's Wedding, the priest character, even though it's quite farcical and comical, ends up being, you know, slightly physically abused. You know, they kind of rough him up, and these tinkers rough up the local priest, and that would have been sacrilegious at the time to do that. But of course, Singh puts it in a very funny context. You know, it's a comedic piece; it's not dark.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that would have upset a lot of people. You know, you couldn't put a hand on a priest back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let alone harm him in any way. So, you know, the world that Singh was dealing with, you know, a lot of these characters are, you know, they're tinkers, they're tramps, they're very, very poor country people, a lot of whom wouldn't have been religiously inclined. You know, they would have mm-hmm. had, you know, particularly the tinkers would have had, you know, quite pagan ideas. And that whole idea was, you know, sacrilegious at the time. So that's why he stirred up a lot of controversy. Not that it bothered him at all, because it was, you know, quite truthful about how attitudes were at the time.
Yeah. Now, The Tinker's Wedding that you just mentioned there, that's a story of a young woman wanting to marry a tinker, but having to deal with the wrathful mother-in-law. Let's go back to actually, and the scene is set, as a matter of fact, both of Singh's comedies are set in Wicklow. Now, was he, you know, was he, was that simply a coincidence? Was he a native? Well, he wasn't a native because he was born in Dublin.
Yeah.
But the plays, in Wicklow. That was just a coincidence or what?
Yes, I think the most important element was that they were rural. And I don't think it mattered too much that it was Wicklow. You know, it could have been Meath, it could have been Clare, you know, wherever. The point was, of course, back then Wicklow was very remote. It's a little more urban now in some respects. So, like you said, he was born in Dublin. He was born to quite a middle-class family, actually. But Yeats encouraged him to spend some time in the Aran Islands, which he did, and he sequestered himself in the Aran Islands for quite a long time to pick up on the vernacular and the colloquialisms and the way the people spoke and lived. And that's where he learned about the rural attitudes and their way of living. So the Wicklow thing isn't too specific. The whole point is that it's a rural setting and these are rural people.
And, in the shadow of the glen, that's pretty much about a meeting, between a recent widow and a wistful passerby seeking lodging for the night. There have been many stories, you know, as a follow-up to that particular play, and we can almost imagine where that one is going. The, again, Sing's influence, even though he hasn't had, you know, as many plays or written as many plays as some of the other famous Irish writers and poets, and but he again was he was able to capture. I didn't know about the Aran Islands experience, but was he ever hailed during his lifetime as for his expertise as, again, a playwright, a poet, a writer? And how did he get to didn't he cause at some stage of the game there were riots during the opening of the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, which he had co-founded with Yeats and Lady Gregory.
Yes.
The Shadow of the Glen and again the Tinker's Wedding, two of his light-hearted plays, and the revival is incredible. Of course, the Irish Repertory Theatre has had some amazing awards over the last couple of weeks. But again, is it pretty much out of character, these two plays, by Sing? And was that something that he, purposely wrote, maybe to offset some of his darker plays?
I don't think so. I think with a lot of his work, you could take them on face level, and on the surface they may seem quite farcical and comedic, almost a little slapsticky at times. But I think beneath them, he was making some, some stronger statements. I mean, I've read where, for instance, the character of Nora, the woman in the cottage in the Shadow of the Glen, who's about to leave, some people have suggested that Nora is representative of Ireland.
Yes.
And, the priest in Tinker's Wedding might be considered, the chains they were under from British rule. And on a much deeper level, her walking out on her husband might be, escaping the authority of the British. I think underneath his writing is, you can look into these things a lot deeper. But to answer your question, at the time, I think his plays have been a lot more revered than they were at the time. You know, I think a lot more since then. His writing has been recognized for what it is, because he's a very, very poetic writer. The actual language in the plays, we had a talk back after the show last night. It was our patrons' night. And we discussed how, as actors, that it was actually very difficult to learn the lines, because the way he phrases things, he uses, you know, a lot of adjectives, and he constructs his senses and the way people speak. You know, they might be in a, the lines might be in a different order, or, you know, the way there's some very long sentences. So I think, you know, they're absolutely beautifully written, but I don't think, you know, The Tinker's Wedding wasn't particularly well received critically at all at the time. In fact, it wasn't first done until after his death, The Tinker's Wedding. So he didn't actually get to see The Tinker's Wedding in performance. So, because it was just discarded, you know, it wasn't as being a bit frivolous at the time. But since then, of course, he's been highly regarded, particularly, I think, amongst other playwrights. They realize how good his writing was. And, you know, who knows, it could have been he was aware of his own terrible illness he had, like you mentioned earlier, he had Hodgkin's disease, and died way too young. And my own take on that is that, you know, he had a very big rebellious streak, and perhaps he didn't care what anybody thought. You know, he wrote what he felt. But, he's now
and
very...
And also, he also wrote Riders to the Sea, another great play, and The Well of Saints. So, again, with all of that, the Irish literary revival is indeed, it does show him as a key figure, though many would say not as well known as some of the other playwrights at the time. Did he actually live in Ireland? Had he gone abroad?
He had gone to Paris, if I'm not mistaken. And it's in Paris that he had that meeting with Yeats. And it was there in Paris that Yeats suggested to him that he spend time in the Aran Islands. And that he get away from the city. I mean, originally Singh was going to be a musician. He actually studied at the Academy of Music in Dublin. And his thing was going to be music. I think violin. And he suffered from stage fright, apparently.
Wow.
And that's when he made the big change to writing. Because he came from a family, of course, who would have expected him to be, you know, a lawyer or a doctor or some such. You know, he had, like I said, a very middle-class background. But I don't think he travels much beyond that. I think it was really Paris, and then back to Dublin, and then he would spend summers on the Aran Islands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two great, and they are, when we say short plays, the two play performances, it's an hour and a quarter. That's it. And it seems, you know, to be, again, as you pointed out there, much more hilarious than serious. It runs, it just opened, and it runs through May, don't know exactly.
May 22nd is our last performance.
May 22nd, that's right.
Yes.
And
so we have another 3.5 weeks or so to go.
Okay, well worth seeing, and again, I'm delighted you were able to spend some time with us, and again with Kieran Bowling and Terry Donnelly and John Keating, Joe Kinsella, and your good self. We look forward very much to seeing playing, friends, at the Irish Repertory Theatre on 22nd Street down in the Chelsea area of New York. and delighted again to welcome, you know, our guest today, Sean Gormley. Thanks for spending the time with us.
It was my pleasure, Adrian. It was lovely speaking with you and to the radio public out there, and I wish you the very best with your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And there you have Sean Gormley, friends, native of Dublin, and a fellow who has been very busy working in many theatres in New York City, including, we might mention, the Irish Arts Centre, and now in the Irish Repertory Theatre, irishrep.org, 212-727-2737. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com.